This is Jess Goldson, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. This story, On Race and Womb Care, the third of four episodes, is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. The previous story covered egg donation, its legislation, and the impact on the health of donors. Today, we will explore womb and pelvic health as it relates to conception and pregnancy. Amoy Jacques, kinesiologist and public health researcher, and co-founder
and co-owner
of Womb Care, illustrates some of the challenges COVID-19 has placed on women's reproductive health.
So when we think about rural regions, their problems are a lot more exacerbated than we have here in Canada or, you know, industrialized settings. So things like reduced HIV testing, shortages in contraception, or access to contraception is significantly reduced. And there's also been a rise in unplanned pregnancies because now you have people that are in confined spaces and not necessarily having access to, you know, their family physician or a specialist to help guide them or to even access contraception so that they're not having unplanned pregnancies. So it's definitely been a multitude of issues around reproductive health and the pandemic.
Jacques speaks to the high rates of COVID-19 in Black communities and the need for race-based data.
I think we're in a very interesting time in history where there was a loud cry for Toronto to collect race-based data as a result of the COVID-19 rates being significantly high in Black communities. And we're starting to see a shift with, you know, how race-based data is being collected through our hospitals and community health centers. So I think now is the time where we need to pivot and really as community, especially as marginalized communities come together and determine how is it that we want to encounter our healthcare system in a brand new way that is really going to serve us. So it is a challenging time. And I don't want to undermine that, but it's also an opportune time for real change.
Jacques describes the ways in which conditions such as endometriosis, uterine fibroids, and pelvic floor disorders impact conception and pregnancy.
When we think about endometriosis, and March is Endometriosis Month, so there's lots of awareness happening in education. So when we think about endometriosis specifically, it is a chronic condition where the cells of the uterus grow on the outside of the uterus. So these cells, these abnormal cells, can grow on the outside of the uterus, on other reproductive organs like the ovaries, and it can even spread to other parts like the lungs, the stomach. So it's really not just a reproductive health disease, it's a whole body disease. And so it definitely can impact the egg quality of the person with endo. It can also impact their sexual function. So a lot of these people tend to complain about pain during sex. They tend to have a lot of pelvic pain. So it does make it difficult not only to enjoy sex with their partner, but also to conceive as a result of how severe these lesions can grow either around the ovaries or around other reproductive health organs. When it comes to fibroids, some similar challenges present itself. So fibroids are non-cancerous tumors that tend to grow in the uterus. So unlike endometriosis, where it can grow outside the uterus, this can pose a problem around miscarriages, because if the fibroids are located within the innermost cavity of the uterus, then it poses a major challenge with increasing a miscarriage, especially as the fetus is growing. So we know within the innermost cavity, we need as much room for the growing baby. But if the fibroid is growing, and it tends to grow at a very rapid rate during pregnancy, alongside the growing fetus, it can push the fetus out. So there is a high incidence of miscarriages. Also, it can create issues around a very difficult pregnancy that can lead to a cesarean birth, which, you know, most women want to try to have their own, try to do a vaginal birth. So it can present a number of complications during pregnancy and also delivery. When we think about pelvic floor disorders, there's a whole host of them. There's dyspareunia, which is pain with sex. There's poor or weak muscles. There's incontinence, which can cause a lot of stigma. It can cause a lot of discomfort. So lots of education, lots of empowerment around that, and lots of strengthening or restoring the pelvic floor muscles to function in an optimal way to ensure that people will have the best outcome if they want to have children in the future or not.
Jacques explains the need for women of color-centered reproductive health support.
Myself and my business partner, Joanne Uposidolo, who is a pelvic floor therapist and amazing educator, we decided to create a virtual women's health clinic known as the Womb Care Clinic. And together, we really wanted to provide care around pelvic health and pelvic floor dysfunctions for this group, because this group has often been marginalized and mistreated when it comes to their health, especially reproductive health concerns. And within the pelvic health space, there hasn't necessarily been a warm and welcoming space for them to be part of the space. Our approach to care is one that is focused in cultural humility, which means that we really want to understand the whole person. We want to put the patient at the center. We want to understand what are some of the barriers, what are some of the cultural barriers that would hinder them from accessing care or that can help them in their journey. And we, as the providers, are acting as guides to navigate them through whatever journey they need. So when we think about prenatal care, we want to make sure that their pelvic floor muscles are strong enough. We want to make sure that they're eating well, that they've got all the support that they need during that prenatal phase. And then for postpartum, we also want to take a look at how the mother and baby are doing in unison, as well as from a mental health perspective, how is the mom coping? What kind of community support does she have? What access would she need to be navigated to? Because oftentimes our communities can operate in silos, and we want to bridge the gap where the gaps can exist within our healthcare system.
Jacques highlights some of the barriers and facilitators Black women face within the healthcare system.
There are many barriers. I think some of the high priority barriers would be around getting a specialist that actually understands and can navigate them within our healthcare system, because we know that it's not a smooth ride. Even though we have universal healthcare, there's still a lot of wait times that people have to encounter. We know that there is a wait time that exists for everyone, so it doesn't matter on your race or ethnicity, but it does present challenges, especially when you are at the height of your reproductive years and you're trying to get pregnant. You know, time is of the essence. I also think within the community, so from a cultural perspective, we're seeing a slow shift where we can have open dialogue around some of the challenges that we face during our reproductive years. We're having more conversations, but there's so much more that needs to be had in terms of understanding what that person is going through. And specifically for Black women, because I am one, dismantling this belief that we don't feel pain and that we need to power through every single challenge that we face. And that is not the case, especially when you're having to deal with all the challenges of being a Black woman, plus dealing with a chronic disease. So having webinars, having community hubs. We're actually hosting a community program on endometriosis launching March 24th to really get the community together to talk about this in a way that is culturally safe and to provide you with the tools to manage this. There's definitely help out there in terms of what is needed in terms of facilitation. It's more of the meeting of the minds of allied healthcare providers coming together and saying, this is an issue that we need to do jointly, because myself alone, I don't have all the solutions. Really creating a community of patients and providers and seeing how we can meet in the middle to ensure that we understand the patient journey.
Courtney Steele, pelvic and orthopedic physiotherapist at Cornerstone Physiotherapy, describes the impact of COVID-19 on the care she provides.
I guess our biggest concern is just access to care. And so making sure people can be seen when they need to be seen and they're rehabbing appropriately. We do a lot of birth prep. So teaching women about their bodies, how it works, what they should be doing to prepare for birth, breathing techniques, pushing techniques, positions to labor in that are best for them. Because a lot of the education when you go as a mom to prenatal classes is a lot about the baby and less about the mom. So that's what we focus on a lot. So they're kind of the most empowered they can be going into those situations, and how to prevent things like incontinence after, again, as much as possible, but also to teach them about what to be doing immediately postpartum so that they can recover easily. I think we've done a pretty good job at my clinic anyway of pivoting on that. So when we were in lockdown the first time when everything was shut down, we did a lot of virtual care, which ended up working really well for most patients. It was a little bit more tricky with the pelvic health population because that does involve a lot of hands-on and internal stuff, which obviously can't do virtually. But it was interesting because it opened up to a few avenues that weren't kind of maybe we'd thought about before. So we could teach people how to do things on their own and then kind of report back to us. And it did allow us to connect with people faster in some frames. So specifically with new moms, typically we don't see them until 6 weeks after because of healing time. And so we wouldn't be doing our type of assessment until that time frame anyway. But with the virtual online, it allowed us to touch base with them faster and just kind of see how they're feeling and if they felt ready for some like low level exercises or they had a lot of questions about what's normal and what's not. It allowed us to give them care that normally they wouldn't have access. I mean, they would have access to, but they maybe neither of us would think about engaging each other at that stage until we felt like the hands-on was available to us. And it kind of just showed how important all the other aspects are and highlighted that. And a lot of new moms were super appreciative of those check-ins early on and the fact that they could start working on a little program with us ahead of that 6 week mark. So I think that will be something that continues going forward.
Steele describes the preventative care for clients in prenatal and postpartum stages.
Knowing, again, as I was kind of saying, like the proper ways to push and when to push in positions that are easier and more effective, breathing techniques, all of those things. And it really helps the mom like mentally prepare for what's coming. So we'll teach stretching of the perineum and things to decrease the risk of tearing. And so that's an area that often will have trauma to it when you give birth. And so it's an area, a muscular area that we work on stretching. So the theory being that if your tissues are more mobile, those muscles that control that opening have to stretch to obviously allow a baby's head through, which can be up to 10 centimeters. So it's a fair bit of stretch. And if you haven't kind of prepared your body and stretched your body, the risk of that having trauma or different interventions needing to take place might be higher. And so stretching that and helping them prepare and get that mobility can decrease those risks. And so they have a sense of what's coming and they have a sense that they're prepared for what's coming. Cause I hear that a lot from moms that haven't gone to a pelvic physio beforehand is that they didn't know what to expect and they wish they had been told about this beforehand and all of these kind of things. So I think it helps in that regard. And if they're ready to get back to certain activities like running and those kind of things, that's where we would come into play and help them to return to those activities safely.
This is Jess Goldson, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. This story, On Race and Womb Care, the third of four episodes in the series titled Waves of Knowing, is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.